Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When I tell you guys that I'm excited to be here, that's an understatement. And as I was sitting over there, I'm already getting emotional, but as I was sitting over there, I promised the Lord that I would do something. So you guys got to pardon me for 1 minute. Father God, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, Father God. You are worthy. You are faithful, God. You are faithful, Lord. I exalt you. I magnify you. I give you the praise. You're worthy of it, Father. Your faithfulness is beyond my comprehension. You are worthy. You are holy. I magnify you, God. I exalt you. Receive my glory, God. Receive my praise. You deserve it. You deserve the glory and the honor. I praise you, Father God. I exalt you in this place, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, I spent 41 years of my life here in Ohio. And then the Lord moved us to North Carolina for his mission and his calling on our lives. And when it was time to go, we discovered that we would lose thousands of dollars of income upon leaving and relocating. And within 3 months, the Lord doubled what we lost. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. By the end of the year, he doubled the whole salary. Hallelujah. Amen. When I tell you that the Lord is faithful, he is faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. And we're happy. We're thriving. Our children are thriving. Our marriage is thriving. It is good to be in the Rush family in North Carolina. Amen. And honestly, it's good to be a Christian right now. You know, when things are the darkest, that's when light shines the brightest. Amen. And we're living in dark times. So this is a great time to be a Christian. I'm so glad that God put me in this moment in history so that I can shine his light. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, for those of you who know me, you know my personality is I'm reserved. I'm laid back. But sometimes you got to set your personality aside and just when the Lord is so faithful, you just got to move that shyness aside and just praise him and worship him. And I'm home. So you guys have seen me cry before. And it is good to be here. And I'm so grateful to Pastor and Pastor T for giving me this opportunity to come and minister with my brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy your presence. I got to spend some time with my parents and some of my family and friends, and it's just been so good and amazing. I'm so grateful to God for that. Amen. So you may be seated. Hallelujah. Today I want to talk about something that I don't think we talk about much in the body of Christ, and that is how to overcome the desires of the sinful nature. Amen. All of us who were born on this earth, and I assume that all of us were, I don't think there's anybody here who wasn't born on the earth. Amen. We're very familiar with the sinful nature. You probably discovered that there's something within your nature that gravitates towards sin. It gravitates towards the desires and passions of the flesh. But the problem is those desires, those passions, they're evil. And they separate us from the life that God wants us to live. But somebody say, but thanks be to God. Amen. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. So we no longer have to be subject to the desires of our sinful nature. Amen. Though we may have been born with it, we are reborn in Christ and we receive strength to overcome that nature. Somebody say, I have overcoming strength. Amen. So now I want to just talk about, where does that strength come from? Where does that overcoming strength come from? How do we access it in our lives? Amen. So we're going to go to Galatians 5, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 17. Galatians 5, 16 through 17. And I'm going to read this from the ACSB. And it says, 16, it says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. The most important, or in my opinion, the most important four words in that passage are walk by the Spirit. Amen. This is not a natural walk. It's not like somebody walking down the street. It's a spiritual and a supernatural walk. And the only people who can walk this way are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you cannot walk by the Spirit. You can try, as many other religions teach, but you fail. Amen? To walk by the Spirit means that we must be consumed with the desires of the Spirit. The definition of the word walk is to be occupied, or in the context of this passage, is to be occupied with the desires of the Spirit. So we have to be consumed by the Spirit's desires. His desires must take precedence over our own desires. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, walk by the Spirit. The second word there, by, the most common definition of the word by is in close proximity to or near. So it's easy if we read this phrase, if we read this passage, it's easy for us to think that the passage is talking about near or in close proximity to the Spirit. But there is a deeper and a more intimate meaning to that word by, which is, have you ever heard the word via? So like for me, I flew to Cleveland via Detroit. Well, the word via is a form of the word by, but it actually means by way of. So I flew to Cleveland by way of Detroit. So in the context of this passage, to understand it better, we might say, so I say then, walk by way of the Spirit. Amen. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If we don't, we want to learn, we want to begin to understand what it means to walk by way of the Spirit. So I might say to my child, child, come and walk by me. And they may come and stand next to me. Actually, can I have a helper? Will you help me? Is that Grace? Joy? Joy, will you help me? Can I? Come on. So I might say, Joy, come and walk by me. So walk by me, Joy. So we might hold hands and then we might walk side by side. So she's walking near me, but she's not walking by way of me. Now I might say, Joy, I want you to walk by way of me. Right. So I might grab her. Stand on my feet. Stand on them. Right. Stand up. And I might grab her, hold her close. And now I'll begin to walk. So you see her legs. They're moving in tandem with my legs. Her feet are moving in tandem with my feet. She's still walking, but now she's walking by way of me. Amen. All right. You can go back to your mom now. Thank you so much. Give her a round of applause. She's walking by way of me. I have become the source of her walk. Amen. Amen. So by herself alone, she might be able to walk 1 mile or 2 miles before she gets tired. And especially with little kids, if you go walking with your little kids, you start going up a hill and they're like, oh my God. If you got little kids, you know that, right? And even for some of us adults in our Christian walk, that's how we act too. But if she's walking by way of me, she can walk 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles. Never grow tired, never grow weary, never get exhausted. Why? Because she's walking by way of me. I have become the source of her walk. Now she's using my stamina, my energy, my power, my authority. Amen. Do you guys get the picture? That is what it looks like when we walk by the Spirit. Hallelujah. when we walk by the Spirit, we can't just be near him. Like if someone was to say, we're going to get there by car. Well, you know that if you just go and stand near the car, are you going to reach your destination? So if the driver says we're going to get there by car, we have to assume that he means by way of car. That means you can't go near the car. You have to get in the car, or at least you got to get on top of it. But if you do that, it's dangerous. And that's actually not the meaning of that word. Amen. But you got to get in the car. If you go and stand near the car will leave and you'll still be standing where you were at because you didn't understand the instructions of the driver. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. We can't just walk near him. We have to walk by way of him. Amen. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. And this is in the NLT. And it says, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That is what is available to those who walk by the Spirit. When you're walking by the Spirit, you receive new strength. You're able to soar high above adversity. You're able to run and not grow weary. You're able to walk and not faint. The question that I used to have, even for myself, is if this wonderful package of strength is available to all of us believers, then why are so many of us not accessing it? And in the past, I even had to ask that question in my own life. Why am I not experiencing this wonderful package of strength that was available to me? If you pay attention and listen, you'll find that there are many believers who are growing weary and tired. They're growing tired in their careers, their jobs. They're growing tired in their family relationships. They're growing tired in their marriages. They're growing weary and tired. Why would someone who has access to new strength and the ability to soar like an eagle grow weary and tired? It's because they're coming near the Holy Spirit, but they're not walking by way of him. They may see it. They may get a glimpse of it. It may be around them, but because they're only near him and not walking by way of him, they never get to experience the fullness of that abundant life that he has in store for them when we walk by way of him. Here are some of the symptoms of what it looks like to come near the Spirit, but not to walk by way of him. So if you come to church and yet you return home bound by the same things before you came to church, you're coming near the Spirit, but you're not walking by way of him. You're not entering in. If we pray but lack fruit and power, we are coming near but not entering in. If we read the word but lack transformation in our lives, we are coming near but we're not entering in. When we religiously do those things, we come near the Spirit, but we never actually walk by way of him. So we never get to experience that overcoming power that is exuded in his presence. And the evidence of that is the lack of change in our lives. So I say then, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Amen. In Galatians 5, and this is verse 25, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Holy Spirit. With personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit desires to empower our conduct. He wants us to live as overcomers. If you want to experience the fullness of life, if you want to experience the abundance of life and the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit, then we have to learn how to deny and overcome the desires of the flesh. Walking by the Spirit helps us to overcome and deny the sinful nature. Amen? Amen. So again, the flesh is the sinful nature of man. It's an innate desire that causes us to oppose the will and ways of God. So for example, we know that you don't have to teach a child to take, you have to teach them to give. You don't have to teach them to lie. You have to teach them to tell the truth. Amen. You don't have to teach a child to throw a temper tantrum. You have to teach them how to compose themselves. You have to teach them how to be mature. Why? Because those sinful desires are already in them. So we have to teach them how to be godly, how to walk as godly people. In Genesis 8, and you guys already know, I'm giving you a lot of scriptures. In Genesis 8 and verse 21, this is the NLT. The Lord said, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. So I'm sure we don't want to hear that. But the Bible was telling us that everything that we think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood. So that is a very ugly and desperate situation that we were born into. And it leaves us in a desperate and vulnerable place. But someone say, thanks be to God. Amen. Say, thanks be to God. God sent Jesus and Jesus paid it all for us. Amen. God sent Jesus. Jesus paid it all so that we don't have to be in that very desperate place. So I want to do a little gospel 101. I want to take us real quickly back just to the grassroots of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 6, and this is verse 11. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And it says, and such some of you were before you believed. Well, what were we before we believed? Right. We were stuck in that desperate and vulnerable place where sin ruled our lives and determined our destiny. Right? But then the verse says, but you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified, set apart for God, and made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God, the source of the believer's new life and changed behaviors. As believers, we have been washed, sanctified, and justified. All of that is made possible through Jesus Christ and by way of the Holy Spirit, whom the Amplified referred to as the source of our new life and changed behavior. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about our new life and our changed behavior. When we received Jesus, we received new life. That new life was in him. And immediately upon receiving that new life, we were washed, sanctified, and justified. In this new life, we became free from the domain of sin. Sin no longer had control over us and over our destiny. Can we all agree that Christ set us free from sin? Yes. Amen. If you agree, say amen. Amen. So then I have a tough question to ask. Really tough question. Have you stopped sinning? I see some blank stares, some eyes looking away. I can even see them through the screens, the eyes. But I'll answer, Pastor Emmanuel, have you stopped sinning? No, don't answer that question. I'll answer that question for us. No. If Jesus Christ set us free from sin, then why do we still sin? It's because the inclination to sin still resides in our bodies because of the sinful nature. However, what Jesus did was that he washed us clean. So the stain is gone. There's no more stain of sin on us. You have been washed. You have been set free from the penalty of sin. Our hearts have been made clean. However, our minds still need to be sanctified and renewed. Our minds need to be renewed so that our behavior can be transformed. I'm going to say that again. Our minds need to be renewed so that our behavior can be transformed. Amen. Romans 12 teaches us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus transforms our hearts. He washes them clean. And I said, he removed those stains. Those stains can no longer impact your future destination. Amen. It cannot stop you from entering into the presence of God. However, our minds require daily renewal so that our behavior here while we're on this earth can be transformed. This is very, very, very important. This is probably the crux of my message concerning our minds. There's a war being waged inside of each of us. And I want to go back to our main passage, the passage I started off with, Galatians 5, and I want to read verse 17 again. And it says, the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you do not do what you want. The flesh and the spirit are at war inside of each of us. These two opposing forces are waging war inside of us. And what are they fighting over? They're fighting over real estate up here. They're fighting over our thoughts. Because our thoughts are extremely powerful. And whoever is victorious over our thoughts controls our behavior. So if the sinful nature controls our thoughts, we act according to the sinful nature. If the Holy Spirit controls our thoughts, we act according to the Spirit. Because what goes on up here ultimately determines what we do. And this is not New Age teaching. This is Bible. These principles have been around for thousands of years. Now, people have tried to come and make them their own. But the Bible is very clear about how powerful our mind and our thoughts are. Amen? I'll give you an example, like, and nobody has to raise their hand or acknowledge. But have you ever had the right thing in your heart, but the wrong thing in your mind? And if you didn't get the wrong thing out of your mind, eventually you ended up doing the wrong thing, no matter how strong your heart was on the matter. Well, that's how powerful our thoughts are. And the enemy knows that. And so if he can get us to focus on our sinful desires, on our sinful nature, then he can get us to act in accordance with our sinful nature and keep us in bondage to it, even as believers. However, in contrast, if the Holy Spirit can get us to set our minds on whatever is true, noble, right, pure, holy, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, if he can get us to focus on those things, then he can use those things to liberate us from the bondage of our own sinful natures. Why? Because our thoughts ultimately determine what we do in our lives with our actions. Proverbs 23:7. This is a very, very familiar passage. And it says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. As he thinks within himself, so he is. The word of God is telling us that you do as you think. In Romans 8 and 5 through 6, and I'm going to read this from the NIV. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. So what that means is if the mind is set on the flesh, you're going to live according to the flesh. It goes on to say, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. So again, if you have your mind set on the Spirit, you're going to live in accordance with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Verse 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We need to understand that what or whoever we allow to govern our thoughts ultimately controls our life, ultimately determines what our life, what we do in our lives. So the person who gives their thoughts, the person who gives their mind to the flesh will live according to the flesh and they will reap death. That's what the Bible tells us. But the person who gives their mind to the Spirit will reap life and peace. Hallelujah. One of my favorite teachers always says, you have to think about what you're thinking about. And so that means we have to be careful where we set our thoughts. Why? Because our thoughts determine our actions. This is a very, 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 very important point. So I want to give us a couple of illustrations or examples of the power of our minds, the power of our thoughts. And I was reading an article by a psychiatrist, and she was talking about one of her clients. And she said, he came in and he said, I always fail in my career. I can't never advance. I can't never get ahead. I can't ever get ahead. Every time I try, I fail. So as she dug into this man's life, she discovered that his thoughts of failure caused him to act certain ways in his job and in his career. And those actions perpetuated his failure. So, and she dug more into his life and she discovered that he was unwilling to exert all of himself because he was afraid he was going to fail and he wouldn't take certain risks in his career because he was afraid of failure. He thought that he was going to fail. So he wouldn't take certain risks in his career because he thought he was going to fail. So she discovered that his thoughts of failure perpetuated his failure. And it's because what we think up here ultimately determine what goes on out here. Amen? Amen. And it's really, really, really important for us to know that. And I'm going to give us a biblical example of the power of our thoughts. And this is one of my favorite examples. And it's of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve thought that they could not eat, that they should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because God told them to. And they thought that if they ate from that tree that they would die because that's what God told them. So we don't know how long they thought like that, but for however long they thought like that, they didn't eat from the tree. And it's my personal opinion that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the furthest thing from their minds. And it's because they did not have a sinful nature. So I've often heard people say, why would God put the tree in the garden and then tell them not to eat from it? He had to know that once he said don't eat from it, they were going to want to eat from it. But that's coming from somebody who has a sinful nature. Adam and Eve were not created with a sinful nature. So they weren't inclined to go against God's will. They were actually inclined to trust him. So that's what they did. I believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was like the furthest thing from their minds, and I'll prove it. When the devil came to Eve, he said to her, Didn't God tell you that you couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? Why did he say that? I believe it's because Eve was not thinking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the enemy is tricky. And we have to pay attention even to this because he still operates like this. So he came to her, he said, did God say you couldn't eat from any of the trees in the garden? What was he trying to do? He was trying to get her to think about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Eve said, no, God said that we couldn't eat from this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, if we eat from this tree, we would die. So at that point in time, her thoughts about the tree still lined up with God's thoughts about the tree. But now we're at a crucial place in history where Eve is actively thinking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But because her thoughts about the tree were still in line with God's thoughts, what was the devil's next objective? It was to get her to think about the tree the way he thought about the tree. So then he said to her, God knows that if you eat from this tree, you won't surely die. As a matter of fact, you're going to be just like him. You're going to have so much knowledge you couldn't even imagine it. Right? So he tricked her into thinking about the tree. Now he's trying to trick her into thinking about the tree the way he thought about the tree. Why? Because he understands that our actions follow our thoughts. So now he introduced this new line of thinking into Eve's mind. The problem is that line of thinking was directly opposed to what God told them, which is what the devil does to us because he's a liar. So he introduced this new line of thinking into Eve's mind, and now she's enticed by it. And the reason why we know that is because we're sitting here right now talking about the desires of the sinful nature. Right? So he first got Eve to eat the fruit in her mind. And then she actually acted out that act. So that's the power of our minds. That's the power of our thoughts. We must be very, very, very careful to think about what we're thinking about. Amen. We can't give our thoughts to the sinful nature. The devil is trying to destroy our lives, and he's using our own thoughts to do it. Oftentimes. I want to look at Romans 8, verse 7 through 8. And this is going to be the 8 CSB. And it says, this is verse 7, it says, for the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's laws. For it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For anyone who truly desires to do the will of God, if you truly desire to live the life that God desires for you to live, it's extremely important for you to understand what that verse means. We cannot set our thoughts on the sinful nature because the acts of the sinful nature are opposed to God. We cannot please God if we're walking according to the sinful nature. It's impossible. That's what the word of God is telling us. So if we continually set our mind on our own selfish desires, if we continually set our minds on the flesh, we can't walk by the Spirit. So what do we have to do? We have to set our minds on the Spirit. Unless we give the Holy Spirit control of our minds, we cannot walk by Him. God has made it so that our minds belong to us. That's what gives us free will. It's your mind. You control your thoughts. Your thoughts don't control your mind. You do. You control your thoughts. So you have to take control of them. You can't just let your thoughts just run rampant in your mind and do whatever they want. Amen. It's your mind. You have to take control of it. Hallelujah. When we don't take control of our thoughts, they take control of us. But the word of God says that we must love Him with all of our minds. The way that we love the Lord with all of our minds is by submitting our thoughts to Him. Our thoughts ought to belong to Him. When we walk by the Spirit, we do that by giving Him reign over our thoughts. This is so important. Like, our thoughts are ultimately what causes us to not walk by the Holy Spirit. So we have to give Him reign over our thoughts. How do we do that? How do we give control of our thoughts to the Holy Spirit? How do we give Him reign over our minds? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. This is how we give control of our minds to the Holy Spirit. You have to take your thoughts captive. You can't let your thoughts just run rampant in your mind. You have to take control of them. You take control of your thoughts and you make sure that they're in line with God's will. You take your thoughts captive and you make them obedient to Christ. That's also what it means to think about what you're thinking about. You must take your thoughts and examine them against the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So you say, Holy Spirit, does this thought line up with your will? If it does, great, run with it. But if it doesn't, you have to kick it out. You have to get rid of it, amen? And there's something I learned years ago that has been such a blessing in my life. And it's that it's really hard to keep a bad thought out if you don't have any good thoughts to replace it with, right? So you can get the bad thought out, but if you don't replace it with a good thought, what's going to happen? It's going to come right back. And then it's going to get in there, and eventually what are you going to do? You're going to act according to that bad thought, right? So we have to get that bad thought out, but we have to replace it with something else. Amen? How do we do that? We do that by meditating the Word of God. When you meditate the Word of God, you begin to fill yourself with good thoughts. You begin to fill yourself with whatever pure, lovely, holy, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. You fill yourself with those things. And that becomes the source of your ammunition against the sinful nature. The Holy Spirit then takes those good thoughts, that good word that you're storing up inside of yourself, and He begins to use that almost as bullets to shoot down those evil thoughts that come up in your mind. So, I know this may sound funny, but we have to remember that our thoughts belong to us. They don't control us. We can't let our thoughts rule us. It's our mind. Yes, there are thoughts, not all of them probably, but we have to take control of our thoughts. we have jurisdiction over our own minds. So we have to take control of them. Hallelujah. When we give the Holy Spirit that ammunition in our thoughts, he then uses it to eradicate those desires of the evil nature out of us. And then as he gets us to begin to walk by way of him, we begin to experience the abundant life of Christ that he has set up for us to live. But you can't walk in that life if you're walking according to the sinful nature. The way the Holy Spirit causes us to overcome the desires of the flesh is by leading us to the truth. And in John 16, he's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, here's what the enemy does not want us to understand about that. In John 8 and 32, and I'm going to also read this from the ACSB. Jesus said, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, he's called the Spirit of Truth. The devil is a liar. He's called the father of lies. Why does he lie? Because he doesn't want us to know the truth. Why doesn't he want us to know the truth? Because it sets us free. Amen. So if the Holy Spirit can get us to focus on the truth and get our thoughts and our minds on the truth, the devil knows he doesn't stand a chance. And I can't ever read that passage without describing what that word no means. And Pastor talks about this a lot as well. That word no signifies a deep and intimate relationship. So you have to have a deep and intimate relationship with the truth. And he's the Spirit of Truth. So we have to have a deeply intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when we develop a deeply intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, his truth begins to surround, it begins to shroud our lives. And we begin to walk in that truth. And that truth liberates us from the desires of our sinful nature. Those desires that keep us from the life of God. If you're not experiencing the life that God wants you to live, and you know this is a result of the sinful nature, you have to begin to walk by the Spirit. I want to give a picture of the liberation that the Holy Spirit desires to give us. I want to give a picture of what that looks like. In Acts 12, Peter was in prison. He was bound by chains and he was awaiting his execution. And he was going to die, but in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord came. The angel entered the prison, broke the chains off his hand, broke the chains off his feet, led him out of the prison and set him free. That is a great picture of what the Holy Spirit desires to do on the inside of us. When we receive the Holy Spirit inside of us, he wants to get into our minds, liberate our thoughts, break the chains of the sinful nature off our thoughts. He wants to lead us out of the prison of sin. And he wants to set us free. Amen? Amen. Even though, like when we receive Christ, he washes us clean. You are saved. You're on your way to heaven, right? But we still have a life to live on this earth. So even though you're saved, if you live your life as a believer, bound by the sinful nature, you're never going to be the light that God intended for you to be. You're never going to be able to shine the light that he desires for you to shine. We still have a life to live here while we're on this earth. And the only way we can live it in abundance to the full until it overflows is if we break free of those desires of our sinful nature. The Holy Spirit wants to be the source of that for us. But we have to give him reign over our thoughts. We have to give him reign over our minds. That is the one thing that will be holding us back from walking according to him. Amen. Is there anyone under the sound of my voice who may feel like you are trapped in a perpetual cycle of sin? I'm not asking you to raise your hands or anything, but I'm just talking to those who feel like they may be trapped in a perpetual cycle of sin. You feel like you can't seem to break away from it. You try. You believe that Christ has set you free, but you find yourself keep going back to the same things over and over and over again. You feel like you can't seem to do what you want to do. And in fact, you keep on doing what you don't want to do. In your heart, you know the right thing to do. In your heart, you want to do the right thing, but it just seems like you just keep on going back to those same things. And it makes you kind of feel like a failure. And I can relate with this. I've been here in my life. But I want you to know that you are not a failure. As a matter of fact, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. And the freedom that you seek is already on the inside of you. You just haven't accessed it. It's already in there. That the moment that you receive Christ, he endowed you with overcoming strength through the Holy Spirit. It's already on the inside of you. But the problem is there are some things inside of you that have to change. Amen. There's nothing that I can tell you that is more important than what you do with your thoughts ultimately control what you do with your body. And so when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that freedom is there. You have to let that freedom out. And the way that we let that freedom out is by walking according to him. We have to make it our main objective to set our thoughts on the Holy Spirit. That has to be our main desire, our main objective, our main goal. We have to be willing to focus on his desires, focus on what he wants us to do. Amen. Amen. When we get up in the morning, we have to be willing to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. You get up and you say, Holy Spirit, I want you to take control of my mind. What is it that you want from me, Holy Spirit? What is it that you want me to do? Fill me with the thoughts of your presence. Fill me with the thoughts of your love. Fill me with the thoughts of your calling on my life. And then we have to fill our minds with the word of God. We have to meditate it day and night. When those thoughts come, we have to have something in there to kick those thoughts out. So we might say, a thought might come and we might say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. Therefore, I have to honor God with my body. You kick those thoughts out. You don't let those thoughts persist. Those thoughts are the thoughts that are going to keep us bound to the desires of the sinful nature. We have to take captive of those thoughts, kick them out. So we have to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. We have to allow him to govern our minds. We have to give our minds to him. And then he'll begin to walk through us. He'll begin to walk in us. We'll begin to walk in him. We'll put our right foot on his right foot, our left foot on his left foot. We'll begin to walk. He'll become the source of our walk. Amen. We'll walk with his strength, his power, his integrity, his love, his stamina, his energy. We will no longer be relying on ourselves. The reason why we fail is because we rely on ourselves. If you find yourself failing in your walk, if you find yourself giving way to the sinful nature, it's because you're doing it on your power, your strength, your authority. When we begin to walk by way of the Holy Spirit, not just come near him, but walk by way of him, we do it in his power and his authority. Our walks become the way that he wants us to walk. And then we walk this victorious life. You will know immediately when you see a person whose life is empowered by the Holy Spirit, somebody who's walking by way of the Holy Spirit, because their life reflects the light of God. You come into their presence and you know immediately this person has power. And this is the kind of life that God wants us to live. He wants to infuse us with so much power that even our shadow changes people's lives. But we cannot do that if we constantly give way to the desires of our flesh. The desires of our flesh try to rip us away from that life that God has desired for us to live. And each and every one of us, under the sound of my voice, can live that life, that empowered life, that life of grace, that life of love, that life of rich and deep intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that life that makes you light up the world around you. It changes the world around you. And you don't even have to do much. You don't have to say much. You're walking in that light. And that light is changing people's lives. Amen. This is the kind of life that we live when we walk by way of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot live that life without it. God wants to fill us with that life. He wants to fill us with that life. But we have to give ourselves to Him. We have to offer our minds as a living and holy sacrifice to God. We have to give Him our thoughts. We have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of our thoughts so that He can ultimately influence our actions for Him. And we also have to meditate the Word. Like, it's so important, because if we do these things, you will live that life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know this was a short sermon. You guys probably used to that with me. But I'm just grateful to God, because although it was short, this life, this empowered life, is what's going to shine in this dark world. Yes. We live in such darkness. It's so dark. Everywhere you look, everything you see on TV, everywhere you go, there's so much confusion. There's so much darkness. And oftentimes it seems like the body of Christ is falling victim to these same things. And it's because we are not being willing to or learning how to walk by way of the Spirit. Everything that we need to live a godly life is already on the inside of us by way of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is stand up in it and walk in it. And I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect, because we're not going to be perfect. But if you determine every day when you get up, because our minds need to be renewed daily, day by day, because the sinful nature is fighting for control of our minds every single day. So every day you got to renew your mind. You renew your mind. You renew your mind. So today I get up, I spend time intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I give Him control of my thoughts. My mind is renewed. Today I go out and be light. You come back the next day, you recharge, you spend your time with the Holy Spirit, you get intimate with Him, you allow Him to infuse you with His power, and then you walk in Him. If we do that on a regular, consistent basis, we will not fall victim to the desires of our flesh. We will break free. And I know it's a miserable, miserable, miserable place when you know you feel like you're trapped in your sinful nature. Nobody wants to feel like that. It makes your life feel miserable. God has a better life for you. And that better life is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt your name, O God. We magnify you. We love you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, because we desire to give our minds to you. We desire for you to take authority over our thoughts. Those thoughts that try to bring us down to the people that we used to be before we knew you, we desire to give them to you, Father God. We desire for you to take control of our thoughts. So I'm praying for the person right now who feels like they're trapped in perpetual sin. You, in your heart, you love God, but you feel trapped by sin. Father God, I ask you to use the words that were spoken today to show this person how to be liberated. Reveal to them even more, Father God, of your word. Put it in their hearts. Put it in their minds. Help them to accumulate more and more and more ammunition so the Holy Spirit can use those things to influence this person's thoughts. I pray that they will offer their minds to you, offer their thoughts to you, Father God, so that they would think like you think and act like you act, that they will walk with and in the Holy Spirit, walking in tandem with his walk, walking by his authority, walking by his power, walking according to his strength. That person becomes a light, a beacon of life, a life-changing force in this earth. When we walk like that, we change lives. And I pray, Father God, for the person who has not been walking like that, I pray, Father God, that this word will fill their hearts and their minds, and that they will begin to flow into that life easily, that they would experience that life of abundance that you have for them. We exalt you, O God. I thank you, Father God, because we receive that power, that overcoming power that is in you. That overcoming power that changes our lives, Father God. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. We take control of it. We take it into our lives, Father God. And we thank you for it. It is what causes us to live as overcomers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I praise your holy name, God, and I thank you so much. And I pray, Father God, that you have used me to minister your word. And I hope that it was impactful to someone's life, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.